Can she win a, can she win a race like this?
Yes.
You bet your life. I mean, she won.
She won the Santa Ana.
She won the Santa Ana. It was a tough call to take her number down. I'm going to skip a horse now. We're going to go up Down Again for a minute. Is Down Again, is Down Again a fit in a grade one race?
No.
No.
She's been going in the allowances.
Please say no to that.
She's a lovely filly.
Not in my money.
What about Magdalene? Is she good enough to win a nominal, a grade one?
I don't think so.
She's never, she's nice, right?
She just won a grade three and she, you know, is she improving?
That's possible, but right, has she shown you any reason to be as good as a grade one field like this?
No.
The horse that she beat in that grade three is Sweet Roberta, who was a nominal, is a two type around here. No, Sweet Roberta, oh yes, Top Corsage, but Top Corsage hasn't been sharp since fall.
Sure likes to win races, but she's probably outclassed.
She probably is outclassed. And again, you're in a 90-10 probability thing here and you want to be safely in that 90 net. What about Future Bride? Don't make this horse a contender.
No.
No.
What about Bell Vanilla?
No.
Well,
she made a lot of money in Europe.
She did, she won a lot of money in Europe.
So Beat Davy's Lamb.
She did beat Davy's Lamb. Can Davy's Lamb beat this bunch?
No.
At least a cut below this bunch. At least a cut.
Yeah, but this is only her fourth race, fifth race in this country. Is it taking her a while to acclimate? Is she going to get back to that European form?
She's going to be a too good in group competition over there.
Well, she did run right behind fifth grade place.
Well, she was a good little career.
She just ran behind fifth grade.
Okay, the question is still up in the air. No one's eliminated it. Is the race?
I don't think any of her races here will look competitive if we run them, but I'd hate to throw a say that she's not a contender. I really would.
Let's view her grade one, group one performances, one in France, both up in France. In one, she's 29-1 and she gets beat. In the other, she's 9-1 and she gets beat 5-1.
That's why I threw out.
They're transferable. Group one in Europe, France and England, they're transferable to grade one in the United States. Okay, she's 29-1 and 9-1, and she doesn't, I have no idea where she was early, but she appears not to have threatened the race. What do you think? Her race at Keeneland certainly isn't in this category. Her one grade three try, she was 3-2 at Keeneland, but she was nowhere to be found. She beat Nature's Way and Davy's Lamb. That is her claim to fame, and that's not a bad claim to fame. But I got to tell you, what race would you use? I would not make her a serious threat. Is she strong enough to earn a question mark? Okay, don't be too free with these question marks, because if you're throwing races out as a result of putting them down there, make sure they are legitimate question marks that you can't answer. And that's not direct just to you. Can we make her a question mark or not?
Why was she at Keeneland and can't bring down if she's this good? They're not, they don't get a very good stakes prices.
Actually, that's a very good point. It, generally speaking, it's the second stringers that are just a cut or two below that these guys ship around the country to get these wins. I wonder how many of her races were sprints that she won in Europe.
All of them.
All right, we're going to eliminate, because I get to be boss.
I'll ship her good stuff here.
We're going to eliminate Balmanelli. Okay. Which leaves us with Ladman. That's the one we haven't addressed yet. All right, let's take a look at her for a minute. This is a nice horse.
Yeah, how good is the Pan American?
Well, do you recognize the name Carotene?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, this is a contender.
She 16 to 1 in there. Previous to that, Beauty Cream beats her at 16 to 1. And Balvanella was beaten also by Beauty Cream, but she was the three favorite to beat her. Latinum's last race, she broke poorly. I happened to have played her that day. She broke poorly and still won the race. She won it by half length. She beat Nairobi Express. Can anybody gauge the quality of Nairobi Express?
It's an allowance horse locally, a pretty good one.
Her one claim to fame, which is her best lifetime race, she ran Davy's Lamb to a photo over at Santa Anita in a, I think it was an overnight. It might have been a grade three, but it was that kind of a race, all right? That is her claim to fame in this race. We've already said Davy's Lamb is at least a cut below this bunch. Is this horse ready to take on Chapel Green, Penn Valley, Fielding, and Fitzwilliam Place?
No.
I'm not saying, is she going to be able to do it eventually? Is she really, based on what you have for her, can she take this bunch on?
Probably not. Besides that, we're not going to be able to find a race here we can put in the computer anyway.
Just her last one.
That's a small one.
Okay.
All her good races have no internal fractions or too long distances.
Her other grade one appearance, she was 16 to 1. These horses, all of these horses, I don't believe, are 16 to 1 ever. Maybe this way in place. She's the only one that's been anywhere near that price against grade ones. I got to tell you, that's where we're going to make our stand right here. We're going to eliminate Latinum. A Latinum is a nice horse. And if she wins, it won't be a total surprise.
What'd you do with Magdalene? You threw him up?
We decided that she was up against it right now class-wise. She's never proven that she can handle a grade two, let alone grade one test. And believe me, there's a strong dichotomy between grade two and grade one. And that the horse that she beat up in Golden Gate Fields, Sweet Roberta, is a novel or is a two.
Top four size is not a great space, I believe.
Especially now, she's just not working. Okay, we have Fitzwilliam Place, Fieldy, Penn Ballady, and Chapel of Green. Won't do us any good to estimate the probable pace of this race because some have run from a shoot start, some have run from a stretch start, some have run at different racetracks. Trying to balance all of those together is really in a never-never way. All right, so we're not going to be able to do that. But we can identify running styles. Starting with one of the horses, the horses even we threw out, we're going to do that. Balvanella, what's her style? She does have a little speed. Her last three races, she has been clearly sustained. She may have been a pressure for a little while when she was extra fresh. Future Bride.
Black Beard.
Yeah, she's really not got a lot of form, but she should be in the presser category here. Just so we don't identify. So what about Magdalene?
Presser
sustained, huh? She's not a pure presser because of the first one, but she is presser sustained. Pardon?
She's pretty close up in all of her second calls.
Let's talk about the first call for a minute. Okay, where is she at the first call? Is she, in other words, if you have a front runner in here like Fitzwilliam Place, is this filly going to be pressing her for the first half mile of the race?
Probably not. It's a pretty slow race.
Okay, then she may move into the race and get a couple of lengths behind at the three quarter, which is why we're saying she's a sustained presser, because she's sustained for the first half mile. Everybody understand that division? What about the down again?
Yeah,
she'll be pressing. Yeah, I would call her a sustained presser also. In her routes, she's usually four or five lengths back, third or fourth position at the first call against much lesser. What about Latinum?
Sustained presser.
Either way, she's not an early presser. She's somewhere in the presser sustained category. At a mile and a half, she was up pressing. Fitzwilliam Place. She apparently can do either one. Fielding. Yeah, that kind of a horse again. I mean, so far the only one early is Fitzwilliam. What about Munchkin Michelle?
Sustained.
She's something.
Really sustained.
You
Penn.
Penn, yeah. Penn Valley. Yeah, we got it. Chapel of Dreams. Really impressive. It is the horse race. That man between places. I think this way is also part of the horse race. She's really a classy one. And I think she's probably just coming into her real form. Okay, we have four horses. We have Fielding, who's really supported at the mutual. Look at that. She must be in the same barn with Anka Germain.
I think she is. That guy's got a barn full of turf.
But they must be in the same barn, because for her to be 2-3 in entry against that horse, it must have been with that horse. What about pace lines here?
Well, we don't want the 3-horse race.
I beg your pardon? Well, maybe we do. Does anybody want to keep Fieldy in here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, then we have four horses.
No, I didn't mean that. Pace line, the last race for several of these horses only had 3 horses in it.
No, okay. Right now,
I didn't mean that.
I agree with you. Fieldy, though.
Oh, okay.
What about Fieldy?
Second. Oh, no, that was a 24 variant. I wouldn't use that.
Well, we're going to use an automatic variant, so it'll adjust that.
I would go back to January 7th.
That's as bad as using the 24. It's a 10, mm-hmm. So it's half 7. Figure 7 being the middle, it's 7 either way. So what's the difference? You get a better look at the current form by using the more current race.
I'm dumped the horse.
Are the racing form daily variance on the turf races reliable at least? I think it's based on the 2 races on time.
Yeah.
She's 5 years old, so the race she turned in on the 27th of November, albeit 87, she was a strong horse. What's wrong with that pace line?
I'm leaving it up to you.
I dumped the horse.
Jim would dump the horse. Who wants to dump the horse? You're under my door. What about a pace line?
The first fraction in November is almost slow.
It's almost slow.
49.3.
Oh, that pace line.
Go back to 14th of May, Belmont's typical.
That's a typical race, whether it's a minus 65 variant right. Or not. It's a typical race of what Belmont is today. Don't you think?
Yep.
Well, I think
this horse hasn't shown anything in a grade 3.
Okay, since you're here, I'll tell you where I'm going.
January 7th.
Well, see, that's what I will do too. Her race with Invited Guest isn't even in the same world with these horses. The horse she beat in November. Her entire claim to fame is second to her barn, apparently her barn room. The rest of these races don't belong in the same block with a grade 1 race in California. But we don't say it up front. We try to get to it.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I've agreed with you for some while, if that's what you said.
Oh, okay.
Fieldy probably does not have the class to handle this kind of a look.
I thought Invited Guest was a really good horse.
She's not a bad horse. Invited Guest is...
I thought she was a great swimsuit.
So, if she is, it's grade 3.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Can we throw this horse out?
Yes.
You won't make a pick in the printout
second in grade 1.
It's probably
true. Do a second in grade 1.
Invited Guest?
Did you see the quality of that grade 1? By land and sea, broke a bone or she got a breathing problem. That's why she didn't get home. She moved in front partway through the race. That particular grade 1 race would run 3 or 4 lengths slower than a novice or 2 half an hour earlier. It's the worst grade 1 race I've ever put a number to.
Oh, yeah, the long shot.
No, by land by sea one.
Okay.
Let's get to the serious stuff. So you're narrowing it down to a 3-horse race, then? To a 3-horse race. I think probably that's what the consensus has done. I don't mean to catch them to contend. That's exactly what they did. Ken Ballady, Chapel Graves. I don't mean to get you into consensus, but that is probably where this race belongs. Those three horses. Now, I'm willing to stand right here and take any case you want to make for another horse in this deal. Because we still have time, otherwise I wouldn't give you the opportunity.
I have a question.
You got it.
If a horse doesn't figure class-wise in a race such as this, but time-wise, it figures in a race such as this, is it a good bet?
Nope.
It is not.
It is not. I think I started this whole session on this grade one race with the statement that class is just about everything in this kind of race. With experienced grade one type horses, class is the whole ball. Just because some horse runs fast time, when they do get up against these kinds of horses, a good example of that is the San Anita Handicap. Some of those races were run earlier in the meeting. A pace advantage was made for Judge Angelucci. Something was, I forgot one of the other horses, and when the two grade one horses, the world class types, Ali Sheba and Ferdinand, decided they wanted to lead, they swallowed that pace advantage. It was gone. When they moved, in 50 feet, they had passed the horses and gone to the lead. That's what happens in these grade one races. They can just pour it on at any time. And class is everything in this kind of race.
There's more to class than athletic ability. There's an pecking order among the animals.
I'll buy that. Okay, I'll buy it. Let me tell you what happens in a lot of these races. Horton and Barber, right? 60.55. That's a pretty good number. 57.39 is a good number. If she stepped in today against world-class sprinters, they go 60.55, and she's got a good time. Everything's good about her, right? She goes in against world-class type sprinters now. Great one. They go 60.55 or 60, maybe a little slower to the quarter. They go 59. Yeah. And they put heat on in that second fraction that just absolutely buries this horse. You see it all year long when they really get, because in a novelist of one, classes and everything. I mean, those are, you want developing horses, novelist of one. You still want that in novelist of two. When you get into some of the classified allowance races and beyond that, to a stakes type sprint, when they begin to pour that heat on, horses that have good numbers, good final fractions, get swallowed right here when they move around a turn because they can't handle that kind of pressure. In a grade one race like the Santa Anita Handicap and the rest of that, some horse will always get the lead that probably is not going to go wire to wire. And he seems to have a pace advantage. On paper, you say, geez, this horse will be three lengths clear at the three-quarter mark. But when they hit the three-quarter mark, he's inhaled. And you see it all year long in these high-class races. So if you're going to play, this is not a great race to play. We're going to handicap it because we don't have a lot of races to handicap it. But we're going to handicap it, and the point is going to be made that in a grade one type race, class is the whole ball. Now, if you've only got one horse of these three, if only one of these is present, and the form is kind of soft on the horse, then you start looking for the grade twos and grade threes to be. But you got three sharp grade one types in. And you got Fieldy, who's not that far removed from it. Ladnum, who majored, that'd be really a nice horse. Pardon?
No, I said, and Ladnum.
That's what I said.
And also that did demonstrate, at least on one occasion, that it may fit here if the other three that's soft on form.
Okay. That's right. Not all three of them are likely to fail. But I want you to see one other thing. Look at the turf record on Penn Ballady. Look at the turf record on Chapel of Dreams. Look at the turf record on Fitzwilliam Place. Now look at the turf record on Ladnum. Okay. Ladnum is at a serious disadvantage with those horses, even taking her European. Okay. Now she could, she may be very good, and maybe she'll win this race, but you don't. That's not the kind of play you want to be making. Right. Fieldy, on the other hand, she's got the same kind of turf record as some of these other horses. She's really a nice horse. She had a lot of time to accumulate it. She had 24 starts on the turf. That's right. She's 7 for 15. Okay, but. Back to Ladnum for just a moment. Chances are Ladnum's going to be out of class. Maybe not. The race, and this kind of a race kind of comes down to these three horses. You want to go ahead and put this in the computer?
Well, we've ended up taking them all out of the Wilshire anyhow. It seems pointless.
I don't think so.
All right.
Not, I don't think you should put it in the computer, I'll take it out of the roll.
Okay.
What would you take the courses out of then, Tom?
Well, I agree with Claudia taking it, the problem with the last line is that when Fitzwilliam played scratch, there were three horses. And of those three horses, only one horse really wanted the lead. Chapel of Dreams was a possibility. Whoever got the lead in that race was a very good chance of going all the way.
So it's just like, what you might call it.
It was a three-horse match race, and it's just not indicative, because if you add other pace, is there other pace? Future Bright's got some speed, there'll be more pressure in here, Down Again's got speed.
Got the Welsh at that, well.
Okay, several of these horses will pressure a pace in here so that it's not a match race. So the last race is kind of a bad line to use.
Well, if you use the last line on, say, Pin Tow Lady, and say, for example, you want to get out of the almost match race, the Chapel of Dreams, and you go back to that one's second line, then we get, what I'm saying is that one line would kind of cancel the other. I mean, Chapel of Dreams whipped Pin Tow Lady and the second race back. And the last race back, it wouldn't be really indicative to use Chapel of Dreams last because of the match race type atmosphere with just three horses in the race.
No, that's really, the reason I don't want to use the last race is that 111 and 3 pace in that race is artificial. That's the only reason I wouldn't want to use it.
All right.
That three horse race was whoever, they just kind of nursed each other along, decided they'd make it a quarter mile sprint when it was over. So if you use that race, that 111 and 3, you're going to put this wing in place, if you can't use in that race, you're going to put that horse 8 or 10 lengths in front around the turn. That is not the way the race is going to be today. Fitzwilliam Place will probably be in front. But if you used this race for Pin Tow Lady, she was no longer an early or a presser. You got her so far behind, she hadn't got a chance. That race is not truly run. But it's the pace of that race, not that there were just three horses in it. Who's going to be in front coming home?
Probably.
I think you ought to be able to answer that with this way in place. Okay. Who's capable of catching her?
Either of the other two. Maybe.
So where do you go? What do you want to play? Be my guest. I prefer Chapel of Dreams. Three horse box.
There you go. That's the way to go. You're probably going to get a halfway decent price out of the deal.
Of those three horses, all capable of being early pressers, which of those three is the best sustain? Without putting it through your computer.
Chapel of Dreams.
Okay, is Ben Ball Lady going to be in front of this weigh-in place?
Probably not,
but she could be. It's kind of possible.
All right, wait a minute. If she is, though, what has that done to both of them?
Burn them up.
Then Chapel of Dreams picks up the race. See, there are a lot of scenarios that you can invent here that Chapel of Dreams is the ideal horse in this race.
And then you look at the odds and off of this last race, even.
Well, what is it going to be today?
Just the last race only.
Ben Ball Lady is the consensus horse today.
How long odds, kid?
She and Chapel of Dreams probably both be less than 2-1.
Could be. It's not a good betting race. Just want to go through the process. The point I want to make in this race is if you're going to play a grade one type race and there are grade one horses in form in a race, that's where you want to be.
Yes. You see any place or show bets in this race?
The three horse easy walkover.
Well,
exactly.
If the board allowed it, Chapel of Dreams would be a great place to show. But she's going to fire. She fires every time and she's got the right. She's not influenced by what happens in front of her. She was last time because there was nobody in a race. But she is not influenced by what happens in front of her. So she's an ideal in the money horse.
Yeah.
Look at Pin Tow Lady's right here. Is that an ideal in the money horse? You bet. Yeah. Let's go beyond.
Oh, no,
The sixth race. Look at the sixth race for a minute. We're not going to do it. I'm going to just need an update on it.
Oh boy.
The fifth is probably going to be $40,000. okay, and 40 grand all of a sudden now is down on the extreme inside. Okay? I'll tell you, that makes the horse, it's just like charity or it makes the horse a bad pick.
No, they like sword charger.
I like sword charger myself, just looking at this superficially. I like sword charger because the sword charger is one of those that draws now on the outside. Well, I'll tell you, I wouldn't go to the bank on it. Hot operator comes out of an extremely strong race. That was the Jeff Pro race, and Jeff Pro really ran well. It was a good, fast race. And even though he was really no threat, he certainly beat everybody else. And that we had that same kind of thing yesterday when that concert lady or whatever the name of the horse.
Comedy Corps.
On the sixth race, she came out of a very strong race, even though she hadn't really competed in the race. But she came out of that strong race, and she wins easily yesterday. Could happen here. But 40 grand, the only thing I'm pointing out to you now is that 40 grand will be heavily bet in this race and is probably a great horse to bet against. Just like Cherry Dior was. You don't want the favorite. Yeah, if you're going to bet on the inside, you really don't want the favorite drawn on the rail, especially in this one turn line. Yes?
There's a little discrepancy in, well, maybe the one turn mile explained it, but I noticed that the post-position studies that they publish periodically, they've got the decided advantage for number one horses.
They do, but a mile 16th and a mile 8th.
So they're even more pronounced than the mile 16th and 8th as opposed to the mile 1 turn.
Yeah, the inside post at a mile and a 16th and a mile and an 8th in Hollywood Park, ever since they rebuilt the racetrack, for an extreme benefit.
It's almost double.
It's a huge benefit. The inside post in a one-turn mile, just get your charts. Prove it to yourself. The inside post in a one-turn mile are horrible. Seventh race. Now this one's doable. We have no pars to work from, because this is on a turf, and it's a mile and a quarter, and the turf pars are a little suspect since they rebuilt the course anyway. Is Miero Emidio, what, first of all, is this a contender, and then tell me his running style.
He's a closer, and he's not a contender.
Sustain when he's been good.
All right. We're marking sustain. What about his, is he a contender?
Yeah.
No.
If you can believe it, last race he's a contender.
Second best starter.
Yeah, but turn about.
Okay, but don't you think, just on the surface, this horse wins, this is as powerful as it gets on this turn course. If the race is not of high quality, the variant will knock him out. So just looking at that particular race, doesn't he look like he's much improved over what he was in the earlier? I got to tell you, I don't like him either, but I would certainly not call him a non-contender in this race. What about Farrah?
Yes.
Kind of ran the race of his life last time. That was a big surprise. What's his running style?
Sustained pressure.
What about pressure? Katmai 2.
Sustained.
Okay, now this one's...
Nothing he's got there is going to work very well.
But now, see, that's the point. Now here is the kind of horse that you look at him, he's drawn even money support the first time and 2-1 support the second time in a high quality race at the same time. And yet, he hasn't even begun to deliver it. Certainly, based on the betting support and apparently his German form, I guess you would have to say he might be a contender, but I gotta tell you, this is the kind of horse I never bet. I mean, Spingle twice in a short price, without showing anything. Look where he was at the stretch call in both of those races. So he not only didn't show anything at the wire, he was never a threat to be in the money in those two races. And until he does something, if you're gonna play this race, you're not gonna be playing this horse. If you wanna play him, he's one of those that you just kind of put in your back pocket and go bet him and make him one of your two horses. Won't do you any good to play him in the computer. I don't play him. I mean, if I were getting 5 or 6 or 7 to 1 on a horse like that, I might consider it based on how well he's been supported. But when you're going to take a fairly short price on these horses, because Pink Eye's on it again, that is not the kind of horse that you put your money. What about Proud Cat? Is he a contender? How many hands for yes? Two or three or four. How many hands for no here? A lot more for no.
Got all that turf, one for 10 on the turf, but he likes to win races. And he's been content with the one of his last races. He's shown he can go the distance.
Last one looks bad.
It's not the ones I've been in.
What race would you want to use on him if you made him wiser?
Well, we can't put any of the mile and a half, the mile and a quarter in the computer, so we have to go back.
You have to use March 11.
Santa Anita, either March 11 or February 27.
Oh, no. Man, I take his last.
Last race, maybe live or die by, okay, I can buy that.
Now, I would insist on his last race here.
Okay.
I mean, is there a reason not to use it?
What are you going to call him, a closer?
I would call him sustained pressure, but I'd throw him out.
Okay.
You wouldn't?
I'd throw him out.
Okay. Who's a nose for throwing him out, though? I'll buy it, yes.
I need to ask a question, because I play very few mile and a quarter races, okay? So I really don't understand the correct way to proceed on these. And I guess the one question I would have, could you make the case here that this horse really does prefer the extra distance? I mean, that he's been a little bit more contentious at 10 furlongs, and therefore he's a contender, and maybe that last line is not appropriate? Is that a reasonable logic?
That is a reasonable logic. I'll still leave him in. Yes?
I have a question for you. I have a theory that you may decide you want to talk about. And I'd like you to do that if you think it's a bad theory. This horse race, that race was on the 10th. That was the night racing. And I made up my mind that night that anybody who raced badly that night, I wasn't going to hold to those races. Because maybe they just didn't like to race at night. Now, I'm not crazy about this horse either. I never have been.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any validity in that, or should I just forget it?
Well, I'm not sure, but you hear that up in the north, in the Bay Area?
Yeah.
Because they run Friday night racing at Bay Meadows. Uh-huh. And that's a popular theory up there also. But a lot of horses just about don't like that.
I decided I wouldn't penalize anyone who did well that night, but if somebody ran badly, that might be a legitimate reason to throw out a bad race.
It might be. I really don't know the validity of that theory or not, but I've heard it before, so it's very
happy. Oh, I'm not terribly happy with this horse, but I do notice that at a mile and a quarter on the turf, he has 1 minute 2 places out of 4 races.
Okay.
And that would suggest that he might be a
He's also raced well at a mile and an eighth. He's also raced well before at a mile and an eighth. And the last race was a bad one, and the horse that won it is in the race today. Maybe if he'd never raced well at a mile and an eighth before, he might forget the last race and say, well, it's at a mile and a quarter today, so we'll just throw it out. But he's already demonstrated an ability to race well at a mile and an eighth before.
This is a hard horse to deal with. His race to Motley and World Court is at least as good, even though it's a mile and a half. His race to Medic, 2 lengths behind the Medic and Trucos, is at least as good. His race to Fiction, we all know that Fiction came within a whisker of winning a San Juan Capistrano.
Bob Daddy 5 is a pretty nice horse, too.
Sure is. I will tell you one other thing, though. This race that Farad won, that was the weakest race at the level for the last 4 or 5 months. That was a horrible number that night. But we still have to reason through this guy. Take a look at all of his turf races, and you'll see that all of his turf races, I think all of them, he made a significant gain down the stretch. And in his last race, he flattened out. Of course, he came home fast, but he kind of flattened out down the stretch. What pace line do you want to use on?
June 10th or March 11th.
Either June 10th or March 11th, huh?
You go back to the March 11th race, you might get a horse that, a different horse.
Yeah.
Now, I would agree with you if this was a claiming field, okay? But this is a pretty high quality bunch. And so you're probably not getting a different horse on March 11th. In a claiming race, that's really dangerous business. But in this kind of a race, you've got some good horses here.
The question is the March 11th race, and actually as far back as he finished it, the March 11th race was...
Let's jump over.
But they're identical races, Tom, if you add up the fractions of the beaten lengths.
Yeah.
One's a 112 and 3, and the other one's a 112 and 3. He comes home in 48 and 4, and the other one he comes home in 49, the March 11th race. What's the difference between the two?
And he was closer up June 10th, which seems to be his recent racing style.
So that means if he can be close to a 112 pace today, then he can come home like that, then he's a contender. If he can't, then he's not a contender. That's the end of the discussion.
I think that's true.
Let's go to hot seat.
I mean, he's done it over and over again. It's not like it's a new, if you would add up every one of those, I bet you he runs about a 112 for the six furlongs, 112, 112, and one. He's either beaten three lengths, or if it's faster, he's beaten more lengths.
Okay. But until 40 people say the same thing, we're not going.
Okay.
Okay. How many people still want to use Proud Caddy, Dick?
One out of 10 is not a good record.
No, one out of 10 isn't a good record. Right now. But 6 out of 10 of the money's a good record.
These aren't the greatest horses. Well, maybe we're getting thousands of better horses.
Well, why don't we find, why don't we
we're going
put
beyond.
On
all?
Let's find.
We're going beyond and then coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where we're starting. What about hot stage?
Sure.
Okay. Sustained pressure, last race?
Yeah.
Okay. What about Knight's Legend?
Are we willing to excuse the inherited at the start? I mean, he doesn't usually do that. Oh, yeah, he does. He does walk in bed.
But he won the race. I wish he'd beer in at the start every time I bet
him. Yeah, it's kind of a slow time.
Knight's Legend. And is this a contender?
Yes.
What's his running style?
Very fast.
Very fast.
Yeah, there he is, 112-1.
What about Russian Rover? If you don't call him a contender, we're all doing something wrong. You haven't done anything wrong yet. Yep. And he's what?
Sustained.
Okay. Last pace line on him. What line do you want to use on Knight's Legend?
Second bag.
I agree with you.
Why are we excusing his last race?
Because it's on the dirt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was on the dirt.
Absolutely, a big
one. And if you know where wide the 7/8 is, that means somebody's heading for the parking lot. It takes a lot to make a wide.
Yeah.
Okay. So we make Knight's Legend a contender off his second race back, Russian Rover off his last, Hot Stage off his last, Barat off his last, Miero, Emilio off his last. Now we still have to deal with Proud Cat.
Now we can toss him because he's a bad
Proud Cat. Can Proud Cat beat some of these horses?
No way.
No.
Could beat Valero.
You might beat me.
Yeah.
You're probably the same.
I might beat Valero on his bad days.
Now, which says something here to us all, do we want Proud Cat or Miero in this field?
Maybe.
Miero can't hurt you any. If he comes up well, fine. If he doesn't come up well, I mean, it's easy baseline selection on him. We knock him out with the baseline selection.
Oh,
Proud Cat.
Okay.
Proud Cat. We've got to be careful because the baseline selection is delicate if we use it.
Vivian's already ruined him anyway.
Who has?
Vivian.
Vivian is ruined. Oh, Valero.
Valero.
Probably overworking him.
Well, he's won 3 times at 27 tries. He's 7 years old. Chances of repeating are pretty remote.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. So we're going to use the variance for these races. If the variant says he's weak, that'll knock him out. We won't worry about him. Proud Cat is the thorn here. If you throw him out and he wins, you're going to kick yourself all the way home. Okay. If you leave him in and you bet him, and he doesn't produce, you're going to kick yourself all the way home. You got to make a right decision on this at the racetrack. I've got to tell you, I don't have any problem with the decision on this, but again, I've got two more hours to fill here.
He had the same chance to run down those horses as the horse that in fact did so. And he didn't do it. That's the point. He did. He had the same opportunity. He didn't fire.
He's a slow horse. He isn't.
All right, we're going to eliminate him now because that's the stand we're finally going to make. Just be careful not to throw a horse out at this level based on that one performance. Okay, these horses are too good to do that. No, because one was probably a mile, and the other was a mile and eight. We were probably on stress start versus shoot start. There are some big differences on the turn course. Yeah. All right. Let's go with Miero y Medio. And now what I managed to do while I was sitting here fidgeting is draw a line through the date on the... Oh, June 10th. No, it's not. What is it? 12?
12.
June 12th in the ninth race. What's the variant?
Minus 1.05.
Now, just write them down. Don't enter any of these yet if you're running with us. June 10th and the 5th. What is that?
Minus 0.50.
June 4th and the 5th.
Minus 0.6.
May 27th and the 8th.
Minus 1.4.
June 5th and the 9th.
Minus 0.6.
All right. Now, let's see what we've got. We've got a minus 1.05, a minus 50, a minus 60, a minus 140, and a minus 60. Now, I'll explain to those of you that are using the variance that the reason these numbers are so high in terms of minuses, the turf course wasn't really 11 lengths fast or 10 lengths fast. These are being adjusted for you back to a two-turn route at Santa Anita on the dirt so that you can interchange these. When you're doing an all-turf race, when you have a ball off the turf, I suggest to you that you take the lowest number of these and make it zero, and make the others based on that one being zero. And the reason for that is that does not distort all your numbers. You'll get some kind of reality when they actually run. Therefore, if you follow that, if you didn't follow that, holler if you're using a variant.
Please repeat.
All right. When these variants on a turf course are always very high, okay? And what I suggest to you is using the lowest of those turf ratings and making them zero. And using the others based on that. In other words, the variant on Farab would be zero. The variant on Hot Stage would be minus 0.10. Knight's Legend would be minus 0.90. Russian Rover would be minus 0.10. And Miero would be minus 0.55. That way you'll have a lesser amount of distorted fractions and you compare them to the charts the next day, they'll be somewhat where they are supposed to be.
Who won that race?
This race? Got it. It's not going.
No, this.
Have you got all the adjustments, Bill?
Yeah.
You're running it? Okay, I'll go find out the one that lives.
Pen bow lady. My head over apple.